Hello, and welcome to another edition of Lodging on Demand. In this episode, Lodging Editor-in-Chief Dennis Nessler sits down with Monica Nesbach, Principal and Chief Creative Officer at Design Bar, and Peter Mack, Founder and CEO of Collective Retreats, to discuss some of the latest trends and best practices in sustainability within both traditional hotels and nature-based properties. The duo also discusses how the U.S. lodging industry has fared relative to other countries and where those efforts can be enhanced going forward.
Hi, this is Dennis Nessler, Editor-in-Chief of Lodging Magazine. Welcome to today's video on demand. We're going to talk a little bit about sustainability initiatives today, and we have a couple of industry experts to expand on some of those issues. We have Monica Nesbach, Principal Chief Creative Officer for Design Bar, and we have Peter Mack, CEO and founder of Collective Retreats. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great. Thank you so much.
Doing great. How are you, Dennis?
Awesome. Thanks so much for being with us today. Wanted to maybe just start talk a little bit about how sustainability has evolved and some of the changes that you've seen with regards to your businesses. Peter, you want to get us started?
Yeah. Thanks, Dennis. It's a really exciting time, actually, with regards to how sustainability has evolved, because I think one thing that has changed significantly in the last year, a couple of years, is I think that people are really meaningfully starting to see through kind of the inauthentic side of sustainability and see through it to the real and authentic side. And so I think one of the most exciting trends in sustainability is that consumers, guests in our hotels, travelers are really thoughtfully seeking sustainability and not in sort of what I'll call the old school way, which is, you know, don't refresh your towels every night kind of thing, but in much more deep, meaningful, authentic ways. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I would agree with that. When you say maybe some better examples of authentic, Peter, if you wouldn't mind, in terms of, you mentioned the towels, but what are some of the more authentic things that you see now that are really having an impact?
Yeah, well, I think particularly in our corner of the industry, which we consider nature-based hospitality, consumers are really flocking to experiences that don't just bring them to a vacation place that could connect them to nature, but actually seeking to stay in nature. And when you're literally staying in nature, staying in a, you know, small cabana on a beachfront kind of jungle experience, or in the mountains, or whatever it may be, you become really attuned to the impact that the property is having on nature, right? When you can actually see wildlife and feel the wind, as opposed to just open a balcony that looks out to a beach, you really become attuned to certain things. So that, I think that that really goes from the core to the extremities. And at the core, things like responsible use of water, responsible waste management. As you get to the extremities, it really has to do with where food is sourced. How daily practices impact flora and fauna and wildlife, how oceans are treated by hotel guests and hotel staff, team, product, and experience. I really think it runs the gamut. But one of the things that we're really seeing that I mentioned before is that guests really want to immerse themselves in nature. And I think that when you truly immerse someone in a natural environment, right, not just in a 20-story hotel that has a really nice beach view or mountain view, you actually feel the connection to nature. And by feeling it really in tangible ways, you really see how small things make big impacts.
Sure. Monica, how about you?
Sure. I mean, from the interior design perspective, you know, that drives the demand, right? Because more eco-friendly or sustainability and, you know, conscious consumers also demand those type of authentic surroundings, right? From a material perspective, construction materials, interior materials, fabrics, like everything that we use. And it's really interesting because we've kind of shifted gears from having a client or us proposing sustainable materials to clients versus the client actually asking for it, which is great, you know, because I mean, that was the first thing that was usually value engineered. And now it's actually something that's being asked for and, you know, is being requested. So it's great. We love seeing that.
How much is it the majority of projects at this point, Monica, that you'd say that they're requesting?
I wish. I hope it's going to go in this direction. No, unfortunately not. But I mean, we just signed a huge adaptive reuse project in Oregon that's going to be completely, you know, sustainable.
Peter, you guys have B Corp status, I believe.
We do.
A little bit about what that means, how you get it, how do you attain it, and what that really means.
Yeah, absolutely. B Corp status is something that we're really proud of because it doesn't really exist much in the travel and hotel industry. So we were sort of the first and largest global brand especially in nature-based hospitality, but really across the industry to have this kind of designation. And I'll tell you what it means for us. Regarding the process, we had to go through, so Collective Retreats, the brand is 10 years old now. And over, you know, we've attained the B Corp status a couple of years ago. We had to go through a significant process to obtain it. The B Corp process involves potentially years of reporting, inspections, you know, a whole bunch of requirements that you have to satisfy. And some of that required us to actually do better than we were doing. So for example, we weren't we didn't have a perfect plan for providing certain workforce spaces around needs for pregnant and breastfeeding mothers. And we actually improved ourselves to do that. Some of it had to do with core environmental impact stuff like, you know, like water usage and energy usage, although Collective Retreats was pretty good in that sense. But we went through a couple of years process of both improving our quality on certain areas of impact and measurement. It takes years to measure these things, not just weeks or months. And the B Corp B Labs, which is the company that supervises B Corp, has a very stringent process for certification. And we were proud to qualify a couple of years ago. What really made the biggest difference, though, for me, Dennis, and actually the reason why we decided to pursue B Corp status was I struggled in a world where there's a lot of greenwashing. I struggled with authenticity. Whether it was our own team members or our guests, we were often said, you guys, you know, Collective Retreats, you keep telling us, either guests or our own team members or partners, that what you're doing is so helpful for the environment and so sustainable, prove it, right? And every company has the ability to say they're doing things that are environmentally friendly, and every company has the ability to measure those things by bringing in an outside, very well-respected organization to certify for it. We were able to authentically prove it. And it really created a higher level of commitment, morale, engagement from our staff, and something that I think our guests really appreciate, that when we say that what we're doing has quality impact and is sustainable, that we can actually mean it with a really like sort of gold seal of approval on it. So those were kind of the ways that we thought about it.
Monica, one of the things that I know has always kind of hampered the progress of sustainability is that it was cost prohibitive. Have you seen it change in terms of product cost, anything in terms of just the investment on the owner's part in terms of going to green?
I mean, I feel like the cost has definitely not changed, especially now in times where it costs actually is going up. But with having a higher cost in the front end, I think you do have savings on the back end. And also, you know, coming from the perspective that the consumer is actively demanding materials or like being in an environment that promotes wellness, I think there's the ROI right there, you know. It's coming from that perspective. What do your clients want to see? Where do what they want to live in? And then also, your own conscience as an owner, right? Like, what do you stand for? So I think the higher cost up front definitely is offset by, you know, a higher demand, on the other side. So,
yeah, Peter, what have you seen in recent years? Anything in particular, any innovation from a sustainability perspective that you're keeping an eye on, or that you think has kind of moved the needle a little bit from your perspective?
Yeah, I think there's some really exciting trends, maybe not so much innovations, but certainly trends in dining and dining experiences, where I'd say that really finally the consumer and where the industry can be are kind of meeting up. So I've been finding that some of our culinary team chefs, some of the guest chefs that we work with, have been really creative in terms of how they're sustainably sourcing and creating really brilliant dishes in different ways than maybe 5 years ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I think that that might be, you know, a little bit of an outcome and product of COVID and people having a little more thought about where their food is coming from and things like that. I think that's an exciting part of the industry. I think we're starting to see some really exciting advancements in transportation, right? And I mean, like right around our properties, whether it be some of the super efficient e-bikes that are now starting to come onto the market, or especially vehicles. You know, EVs have really come to be much more viable just in recent years. Those are a couple of the places that we're seeing it most in like the last 2-3 years.
Yeah. Monica, how about your perspective on that?
Of course, I mean, there's a lot of advancement in recycled materials or fibers that are being used, of course, you know, in fabrics, and they also have come a long way in terms of performance. A lot of them are performance fabrics. Recycled content. We also run now into issues where people that are promoting recycled, you know, using recycled materials or recycled plastics, they actually run into the issue of not getting the resources anymore because there's not much available anymore. Yeah. So I've had a conversation with one of our vendors where they had to reduce their recycled content because they just couldn't get the materials anymore.
Monica, you mentioned you grew up in Germany. I'm just curious your perspective on kind of how the US is doing in this area versus maybe some countries overseas. And maybe, I mean, have you worked at all overseas, or, you know, just any perspective you might be able to give on that?
Yeah. Do you want the honest answer?
It's okay. The honest answer. Yes.
Okay. Truth, nothing but the truth.
So I feel that the United States is catching up, is definitely catching up, but has not have put the emphasis on, you know, recycling and being environmentally conscious as other countries have. Of course, growing up in Europe, you grow up in a much, much smaller, you know, scope of people with much more people in a closer environment. So, you know, there's less space, whereas the United States has way, way more space and all these, the same amount of people distributed over way more amount of space. I was very surprised when I came here that I didn't have to separate any trash. Nobody was ever talking about trash separation. I think there's definitely catching up, and the overall movement is there for to be conscious about the environment and what we leave behind for our children and for our future generations. And I love seeing that. So I think that there's the trend is going in the right direction.
Yeah. Peter, you agree?
Yeah, I think the US is behind, you know, from my right now we primarily operate in the United States, but obviously we get collective retreats as part of our conservatory collective portfolio. We have just under 100 properties around the world that we have affiliated with and have created a brand for eco travel and nature-based travel experiences. And so we have a lot of communication and insight and best practice sharing. And I think one of the things I definitely agree that North America, in particular the United States, is behind. One of the things that we have that gives me some hope is we tend to be really good at technological innovation here. And I have seen a lot of good technology that has mm-hmm. been helpful. Generally speaking, it doesn't represent us doing the real nuts and bolts work of becoming much more sustainable, but it does have the power to educate people in such ways that they will want to become more thoughtful in their practices and behaviors. And so, you know, we've seen a lot with like in-room technology. Our latest rooms have really energy use management technology, water technology. Even in particular, when Monica talks about materiality, you know, there's really cool technology happening in the building industry around passive energy design, roofing, siding, insulation. And I think some of that stuff is exciting. And I do see some of that innovation coming from the United States. I don't see the kind of guest practices side and consumer behaviors as prevalently as we do in other places, like certain places in Africa and Europe and other locations.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of examples set by other countries as well, like to, when it comes to retreats and resorts or eco resorts as well, where, you know, those practices are being, or those technologies are being used, smart technologies in particular. You're correct, though. I feel like COVID has kind of helped to push it in that direction as well, because everybody was inside and really was, I think, for the first time feeling that we need a connection to nature, because we didn't have it, or most people didn't have it because they were sitting in their house, right? And so I think that really was driving people to be more conscious about, like, what does it really do for us and how much it affects our wellness and our well and our behaviors and our, you know, feelings. So I think that that was really a driving factor and helpful factor.
we were worried pre-COVID and during COVID, we were worried that people were seeking nature experiences through screens, you know, whether it was VR or their television or their phone or whatever it may be. I think during COVID, it really jolted most of us, or many of us, to say, wow, we need to prioritize connection to nature. We're feeling what we call biophilic. We need to prioritize connection to nature in our routines, in our monthly or yearly routines. And we're even seeing that, especially with younger people, right? Younger generations and kids. And I think that's really special. And I think that gives me a lot of hope that environmental stewardship will come with it. We really think that connecting people to beautiful places and beautiful experiences in nature is the best way to drive environmental stewardship.
I love that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, appreciate your time today, guys. Lots of great insights for us, and appreciate it. And we'll see you down the road.
Thank you so much, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you would like more content like this, please subscribe to Lodging Magazine on YouTube. You can also subscribe to Lodging on Demand wherever you get your podcasts. For news and updates, follow at Lodging Magazine on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Or visit us at lodgingmagazine.com.